time for your first lesson in Dr. Park's School of the Hard Knocks. Check it.
Lynx, Jaguar, Nintendo 64. One system came out that crunked up all those beef for. Popular for a week, but now they trading them up. But you'll probably only get a buck.
Oh.
Give me that controller, cause I'd be ready to rumble. Sonic's only one player, but it got Tails and Knuckles. Ain't nothing but a Dreamcast, baby. Driving in them taxis that are crazy. Can't buy maracas till I get a raise. Inedible, so please don't try to eat this. But back to the story of a man. An elder killed his father, then he fled to other lands. That dog's name was Ryo Hazuki, and his graphics were good, but man, that acting was poopy. But soon enough, people learn how to burn them games and copy them games, and Sega lost the profits from games. Now you know why I have to cop all the time, cause I miss taking a break from work for Phantasy Star Online. But now it's dead like the original Shamu, just like the crappy battery in my VMU. I miss the games with girls dancing up and out of space. I'm talking to a fish that somehow got a human face. It's like Sonic Adventure and Power Stone. Crazy Taxi Shenmue and Soul Calibur. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six and Jackard Radio.
Whoa, where the hell's my Castlevania?
Ain't nothing but a Dreamcast, baby. Sega is the company that makes me. After 4 years and nobody plays me.
Hey, shut up, Dreamcast.
Why don't you make me?
Hey everybody, it's Boss Burial Radio, episode E3 2015, part 4, Sony Press Conference. I am Griffin Hoffman.
And I am Jeffrey Bua.
Fabulous.
I'm trying to evoke the For Honor guy.
I'm Jeffrey Bua.
Yeah, perfect. How many rings are
and
you wearing?
And I fight for freedom.
What's that?
How many rings are you wearing?
At least 10.
Mm.
Got to double down on every finger.
You should.
So I guess it's Sony time now, huh?
It is Sony o'clock. Let's talk
Sony
about
o'clock.
It.
It's Sony o'clock somewhere, that's for sure. There's a lot to talk about. This was a hell of a show.
Sure was.
And it opened on a hell of a note with The Last Guardian.
Yep.
They started the show with
your friend and mine.
Just games. Yeah. I think you were like ready to be underwhelmed, and I possibly were. I was just like amazed beyond anything. Especially as a huge fan of Shadow of the Colossus. Not a huge ICO fan, but I really enjoyed Shadow of the Colossus. And this title is so symbolic, and for them to open with it, even though, I mean, to be fair, it did look like a PS3 game.
Yep.
But for them to open with this title was such a confident first step. Like, hey, guess what? This is the first game of our show.
Mm-hmm.
this thing that usually would end a show is the first game of our show.
Right. Starting the
and,
show with the showstopper.
You know, exactly. The showstopper is the show starter, yeah. And it kind of set the tone for the whole event.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to kind of refresh people who don't know, The Last Guardian is an oft-delayed title. By Fumito Ueda, who made, like I said, Shadow of the Colossus and Ico. And it's you're a little boy, and you have a dog, cat, rat, bird friend, and he's cute. And you guys are friends, and you go on a journey together, and it's really cute.
Nailed it.
And that's pretty much the gist of it. Yep. And something's going to die.
Yeah, probably the horse.
Yeah. Something that doesn't exist in the game is gonna die. No,
hey, well, we know
it looks
what
really,
didn't
you know,
die this game.
Yes, exactly. I mean, his games are known for being, you know, evocative, kind of somewhat minimalist in like their worlds, but like, you know, more emphasis on the emotional components than the actual mechanical elements. Although you could argue that Shadow of the Colossus has some pretty cool mechanics, but these games are more about experiences than anything else. So, you know, there's only so much you can glean from a trailer where essentially, they just walk down a walkway, jump across a gap, and jump across another gap, but and climb up the thing. But it, you know, it's more symbolic than anything else at this point. And even if the game ends up being so-so, which I hope it doesn't, I hope it's really something. The fact that they are that this is happening is just like immediate, like megaton from the very beginning. So great way to start the show. Did you have any thoughts about it, Griffin?
Nope, not really. I mean, I'm not gonna crap on it, but it just looked like light platform puzzle solving.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You have a cat bird.
Yeah. I did not do it nearly as much as it did for you, that game, but, you know, it's great. I'm glad that the thing's out of the way.
So that's how it was for you. You were happy they got it out of the way early.
We can move on with our lives.
Well, they did move on, and they moved on to something which is brand spanking new, and I think maybe one of the most exciting announcements of the show, even though it might not get enough attention, and that is Guerrilla's new IP, which is Horizon Zero Dawn. And this had been widely rumored, but they did a little more fleshing out, and there's some plot that we don't talk about because it's kind of dumb, but you hunt freaking robot dinosaurs. I don't care how they got there, but you're doing it, and it's freaking amazing.
Yep. Yeah. I slept on it. I thought about it. I watched the trailer again. It looks pretty darn good. The mechanics of it, like the shooting of dinosaurs and dodging, it has that kind of like if Monster Hunter was made more action-y kind of feel.
Yeah, Western Monster Hunter, essentially.
Yeah.
I think what I liked about it, and it's interesting that you mentioned Monster Hunter, it doesn't feel like the combat is like super on rails, like in the sense, kind of, you know how like Uncharted, kind of known for being a little bit like kind of on rails in the way that you progress, like there's really only one path. I'm using on rails the wrong way, like kind of linear to the extent that like you kind of can only press one button at any given point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that Uncharted opens up in the shooting gallery sections, but generally speaking, it's a series that is known for kind of in its cutscene-esque set piece moments bordering on quick time event, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you see that kind of design kind of prevalent in modern games. But this game, as I watched it being played, it was immediately apparent to me that that was not happening. Like, this is a game where you actually have to think about how you're going to kill these guys.
Yeah.
It
kind of has a feel of like a puzzle solving component to combat. So that was nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, you cannot argue with that art style.
No, very cool.
And I'm always down with tethers.
You shot that Tyrannosaurus's rocket launcher off its back and then used it on the Tyrannosaurus, which is kind of disgusting when you think about it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's better than shoving a creature's heart into its own mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really, really exciting. It looked really fresh. I can't wait to get my hands on that title. I think it's going to be really phenomenal. So I'm definitely on board with that. And then, or do you have any thoughts about Horizon beyond what I said?
No, I think, you're playing as a lady. That's cool.
Yes, I agree. Playing as a lady is very cool.
Yep. And what looks to be an empowered lady, somebody who's not just like getting banged around for the hell of it and subservient to some other individual.
Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, say how you feel about Lara, but I mean, certainly this lady is not, Tits McGee, the character.
Yeah, yeah.
She is fully clothed in appropriate attire that is basically gender neutral. More or less kicking ass.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, it's, I think we've seen a lot of interesting females floating around in this E3, which is always a nice thing. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of females in games, we can move on to the next one, which is Hitman.
The most forward-thinking representation in the entire E3 show. Featuring a parade of bikinis, butts, breasts. And were there lady faces in there, or did they just do the good bits?
I think they just kept what everybody wants, yeah.
Okay, good. Lots of short shots of Agent 47, also known as Penis Head.
It's a very erotic trailer.
Did, Do you think he has a barcode on his dick too?
Yeah, but it's a bigger barcode.
That trailer did zilch for me.
Yeah.
Because it was CG.
Yep, sure was.
Yeah. But they did talk about that more in the Square Enix event, which we'll touch on later.
Mm-hmm. And they cited that there will be an exclusive beta for PlayStation 4. So, today, yes. Yay!
Year of the exclusive beta continues.
It continues.
Speaking of exclusive betas, Street Fighter V.
Well,
and this was a weird one, too.
I mean, that's a little different there.
Well, okay. So we can move on to Street Fighter V now, right?
Sure.
Okay. So they showed a Street Fighter V trailer. They introduced a few returning characters. Birdie, he never made it into Street Fighter 4, right?
No, he was never
in any iterations.
No.
So he was he from 3 or
I want to say 3 or Alpha or one of those ones that I have no awareness of.
Yeah, all those weird oddball characters, the entirely new roster that they introduced that everyone hated and now they kind of like.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're bringing in Charlie as, like, weird, you know, Seth Charlie or something, so it would make sense that they're pulling from other Alpha characters.
I see, yeah. So, yeah, they introduced a couple new characters, and then they said there's going to be a beta next month.
Yeah.
And they said PS4 only, which I couldn't... Does that just mean no PC?
It would have
what does
to.
That mean for a game that's console exclusive?
Yeah, they would have to mean no PC.
Yeah. So the exclusive betas keep rolling in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's weird, though, since it's doesn't need to have any rights to exclusivity. You know, it's not available for the Xbox One in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Just PS4 and PC.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of odd that they talked about the exclusivity of the beta. You're like, well, yeah, of course. But I guess, you know, no PC.
Right.
So after that, they moved right along to No Man's Sky.
Damning my prediction.
Griffin. Yeah, Griffin, you failed on your prediction.
I did.
How do you feel about No Man's Sky after watching this video?
Better?
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I can see there's a game now. And though that game appears to be even more like Minecraft, at least it's something.
Okay. So you were just afraid you were never going to do anything in this game except walk around.
Which is fine. Like, walking around is great and everything, but when they're promising other things and, like, building and crafting and discovery and all that stuff, it's like, well, is it just the look around simulator? Which is, again, you know, not a bad thing. But if they're talking about crafting components and building ships and acquiring resources, like, how are you doing that? And it looks like that in this trailer, they showed a little bit of the risk reward.
They did. Yeah. I like that they have dudes who try to kill you if you blow up planets. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see how tight that ends up feeling. Like, I want to have high value planets have, you know, powerful targets that make it really like a true risk reward type situation if I go for resources. Because I think part of the issue with Minecraft sometimes is just like there's no tension in collecting resources other than the fact that they're just really rare.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Because I will say when he pulled out the gun and shot the tree and it like fell apart like a voxel, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was my first moment. That was my first moment where I was like, ooh,
yeah.
I don't know anymore. But then a robot started chasing him and I was like, oh, okay, we're fine.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. How else were they gonna do it, really?
It's true. But yeah, here's my big question though. Are they ever gonna have an E3 where Sean Murray does not come up there?
I don't know. We will never know.
Tradition now.
We will never know because while he did something a little different, and that's went to a random planet, did a little space combat, actually showed what it was like to play the game besides just like kind of an on-rail ship portion from what we've seen in the past. And while he's going through this stuff and like trying to cram in as much action as he can while he's on stage, he does make mention that this game is still being developed. His verbiage did indicate that it is not complete.
Yes, he did say they'll be announcing a release date soon.
Mm-hmm.
So 2016 sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you were right about that one.
Right. I was not expecting them to give it this much floor time, but, you know,
I'm not sure anyone was at this
point. Yeah, I'm still not. I still believe this will come out in 2016.
Yeah. I think somebody over at Sony is just like, man, I'm so hyped for this game. Get Sean Murray up here again. Just like one guy is just like really excited about No Man's Sky, uh-huh. Just keeps inviting him back. And Sean Murray's like, really? Do you want me back again? Like, I mean, you know, I already did this twice. Like, maybe give it to someone else, or they're just like, no, come back. Yeah. Too hyped, man.
Bring that trailer music too.
Yeah, no 65 Days of Static this time.
No.
It's a good track right there.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Well,
there was a Carl Sagan quote though.
Yeah. moving on to other questionable projects.
Yeah.
Media Molecule took the stage. Surprising everybody that they were going to make an appearance this year, I guess.
Yeah, nobody expected it really, I think, with Tearaway.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And
so,
Little Big Planet 3 being bit of a turd pile. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. They call this project Dreams, and they claim that you can share and create dreams using kind of like the controller as a foam dispenser, claymation oozer, or something like that.
Yeah, they were like dispensing foam, and then there was some trickery going on because then they were like, "Hey, check it out, we now have a person," and I was like, "Wait a minute,
yeah."
What is going on here?
Yeah.
You were just scribbling moments ago, and there's a person now. How'd you manage that?
Right. This looked very similar to like the E3 tech demo thing that they showed a couple years ago, where it was like puppets swaying on stage to the motion controller.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
But
definitely seems to be in the same vein, yeah.
I was going to say, what does sound appealing about it is their commitment to like the sharing and creating. So I think the point that they drove home was, when you go and experience these things that people create, you can take those parts and mix and match them up to how you see fit, and kind of like blend certain realms and worlds into other certain creations people make.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I feel about Dreams in a nutshell. It's probably, first of all, I probably can't do anything special with it at all because I'm very not artistically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
But it is definitely unlike anything I've seen before. That's the thing that I took away from Dreams. Like, this is I'm sure if I play this game, I will have an experience unlike any other. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it will be unlike any other.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems neat.
It does seem neat. And the art style is really cool, like you said, with the claymation type thing.
Yeah.
And the stuff they were showing looked pretty rad. I don't know if that was all supposed to be in engine or CG trailer or what, but wow, I was wowed by that.
Yeah. I was not wowed. I thought it was interesting. I again, it's kind of the same reaction that I had to No Man's Sky when that first came out, when I was just like, that seems very ambitious. We'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I was wowed doesn't mean that I want it. It just means that I was impressed by what they were showing me.
Right.
Like,
gotcha.
It's not so much that I've decided that I made a purchasing decision or something, but
right.
But like I said, this is an experience I've not had watching E3, you know, mm-hmm. playing video games before. So that excites me on some level.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I feel like my track record with Media Molecule has been a little bit kind of like, they're always a really ambitious studio, and they have really interesting ideas, but sometimes their execution just falls just a tiny bit short. So.
Yeah. Yep. I couldn't agree more.
I'm worried that they're going to do that again. So yep. Hopefully not, but we'll see.
Yep.
Anywho, though, the next project they brought out, Sony brought out, or at least talked about, was Firewatch. And this is a game I hadn't actually been following at all. I'd heard of it just really in passing. Mm-hmm. But it looks to be something kind of special. It seems to be like a kind of like a, I guess you're what, in Portland or Seattle or something, you know, detective goes
Wyoming,
to
Wyoming, I think is where they said.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be West Coast.
Pacific
for
Northwest,
some reason,
no.
America. Yeah. I was going to say America has like a love affair with Pacific Northwest detectives, but someone goes to Wyoming and is investigating some kind of thing, but seemingly also just kind of taking in nature And then weird stuff starts happening. You're talking to a lady on a radio the whole time. Mm-hmm. She starts saying strange things to you that make you doubt that she is who she says she is. Lots of cool little things teased there. Mm-hmm. And you're holding a turtle. And it just looked really solid. I was very impressed with what I saw.
Yeah, it had very much like a Gone Home kind of vibe where it's just like solidarity, simplistic gameplay and interactions where it's more of just like cute moments. And then interspersed with like kind of like spine tingling like little like,
yeah,
like
exactly. It was
the killer
like,
was
like
inside the house the whole time sort of thing.
Well, sort of. It was like building like Gone Home-esque character, you know, like, oh, I'm in Wyoming. It's kind of cute and funny. Like, you know, I could spend my days having fun instead of working. And then, like, the operator is like, you know, I talk to you more than I talk to anyone else. I wonder why that is. But it, like, kind of sounds nefarious. Mm-hmm. Like, she might be stringing you along. And then, yeah, like, you find out at the very end of the trailer, someone else is in your tower. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
something scary is going on here. Right. It really piqued my interest. Nice little introduction.
Yeah,
and I want to know who that voice actor is.
The voice actor or voice actress?
Voice actor.
Oh, okay, okay.
Sounds very familiar.
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson, really?
No, I don't know.
Oh. but yeah, that looked like a really sweet little title. Have Campo Santo made anything else, or is this their first title?
I've never heard the name mentioned before. I don't know, though.
I will look into it.
Maybe Kentucky Route Zero? I don't know. That's just a shot in the dark.
Could be.
Yep.
I'll find out.
Well, while you look that up, we can move on to the next bit here. Adam Boyce took the stage and proceeded to bore the crowd with more Destiny talk.
He seems to really care about that stupid game. I don't get it.
There's a lot of people out there who really care about that stupid game.
Yeah, what is going on?
Yep.
What are they smoking?
It's, you know, just filling that WoW void. You know, I don't know. It's not for me. Not for me, but
yeah,
it is for some people. And there's new crap that came out with this DLC or something that's next year. I don't know. I didn't really pay too much attention.
Yeah, I was the part of the trailer that I listened to where they were like, you not only killed the king, you did it with his own sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is the worst story.
Yeah, and I think the short and long of this was all this information was leaked maybe a week ago or so, and all those details were confirmed true by this.
Yeah, yeah. Kotaku on a roll, man.
Mm-hmm.
They know what's happening.
yeah, so then we get our first look at Assassin's Creed Syndicate actual gameplay, which... did, again, nothing more to interest me in that video game.
Nope. Except somebody doing their best impression of, like, a Cockney English accent.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about me, Sister Avi.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the more elegant one.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto Horse, for real, this time you're jumping on the back of carriages and stealing them and getting in races and crap like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
Yep. Hey, it's a new mission type, I guess.
Yeah, hey, they gotta have one of those a year, right? Mm.
Well, yeah, and you know the reason it was shown off at PlayStation was because there's going to be exclusive missions based on a famous Dickensian author. I don't think they said Dickensian. I think they said of the era.
So probably not Dickens is what I'm hearing.
I'm assuming it would be like a Sherlock Holmes style story. But
that'd be
they might
cool.
not do that because that would be way too interesting.
Yeah, whatever they do, it'll be really bad.
Yep.
It'll probably just be like A Tale of Two Cities, and instead of like the poor guy dying to save the rich guy's life, you just kill both of them.
Yeah, or you save both of them. Happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and then they give
get rid
you,
of the little wrinkle that makes it interesting.
Yeah, and then they give you like a new pouch upgrade so you can carry more smoke bombs.
Oh, dude, that's beautiful.
Isn't it?
You just out-Dickens to Dickens.
I did, yeah. Just wait till the Oliver Twist story DLC comes in.
Please, sir, I want some more. Okay.
I want some more Hidden Blade.
All right, sure.
you can have it. There was something that I noticed in that trailer only afterwards, and that was in the moment when the character is on the back of a coach and buggy and then gets derailed off the road and the horses end up, you know, bailing off the side of this bridge. Your character jumps off the back of the cart and swings around using his little, like, Batman back hook shot. I don't know, what do you call that?
I
noticed only in after seeing it in a still image was that the horse's trajectory proceeds to put them into a pile of hay.
And as you know, if you hit a pile of hay in Assassin's Creed, nothing bad.
Totally safe, and it's even better. Like, those horses just jumped off a bridge and landed in a buffet. Yeah.
Glad to know that no virtual horses were harmed in the making of that trailer.
No, absolutely not. So then we get to the biggest load
of hot trash.
Yeah. Of this event.
You know, to be fair, we don't actually know what this thing is. Right. All we know, okay. So it was World of Final Fantasy is the name of this title that was announced. And what we were shown was chibi-fied Final Fantasy characters, a very generic looking boy and sister, and not much, I guess, chibi monsters.
Yeah.
And I guess they can grow and shrink.
Yep.
So insert innuendo joke there.
Yeah. Seems to be some sort of mechanic there that involves cutifying and decutifying monsters.
It involves cashing in on nostalgia by making terrible games.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
It looked pretty gross. Square seems to be pretty excited about it, though, and they talked about it over at their conference, which is something we'll talk about later.
Yeah, and coming out in 2016. Yeah,
in theory, yeah.
For the Vita as well.
But no actual... Yeah, that was the interesting bit. No actual footage shown either.
Mm-mm.
So we really don't know anything about this title. Like, we don't, it could go any number of directions. And again, they touched on it a little more in the Square Enix conference and we'll cover it there, but
yeah.
Big question mark. So that's a strange one.
Yeah.
But they followed that up with the Final Fantasy news that we all expected and wanted to hear, or some of us wanted to hear, which was that a Final Fantasy VII remake is now being made.
Mm-hmm.
It is now, quote, in production.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think by Square parlance means it'll only be another 3 years or so.
Yeah. Somebody wrote a design doc somewhere.
Yeah. Tetsuya Nomura just wrote graphics on a piece of paper. And
more zippers. Yeah, we've been thinking about this the wrong way for so long. It's not an emergency break glass in case of company destruction, and then they pull out the Final Fantasy VII remake. It's actually just a gigantic zipper pouch that they undo and pull the design doc out.
Yeah, it is a very strange thing to behold, a Final Fantasy VII remake actually happening after so many statements to the contrary, indicating that it wasn't something they really wanted to do.
Right.
They were like, hey, let's do it now. And it's especially strange because I don't think Square Enix had a bad year last year.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really line up with the whole in case of emergency break glass thing.
Well,
it's just like, oh.
I think that we'll see kind of maybe some of the reasons why they chose to do that once we get to the Square Enix conference, specifically them trying to realign their brand.
That's true. And, you know, that can make it actually quite a positive move if it actually is what you think I'm describing, Griffin. So mm-hmm. we'll have to touch on that later.
Yeah.
But I guess what's worth saying about the FF7 remake is that we got a CG trailer.
Yeah.
And CG trailers kind of suck. So, you know, they played the right music. They said the right things. But, you know, I wrote "please be good" as it was announced because really there's no way to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's going to be first on PS4, possibly PS4 exclusive.
Yeah.
Mixed
messages,
but
it's
also, yeah, like it could be PS4 PC only, first on PS4. It could be all three console or all three major platforms. It's not entirely clear.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot to be sussed out there, but I guess they're going to tell us more this winter, so we'll have to see what happens there.
Right. And definitely Megaton. Big blowing up the show floor, people losing their shit. You know, so many years, people hoping this would be a thing, and then finally confirmation.
Yeah, Jamie's email to one up yours was finally vindicated. You know that Jamie emailed one up yours and got his comment read on the air?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So now he has to buy another PS4. Oh, no, he has to buy a PS3, actually.
Mm.
I think that's how it works, right?
Yeah, I think so. The native platform.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But anyway, after the FF7 announcement, which was the second of three big megatons, I think, in this conference,
mm-hmm.
They moved on to a bit of a sizzle reel, you know, talking about Devolver, which I happen to think is actually a pretty cool publisher. I like them a lot. But they talked up a couple of games that there were four games, I guess, which are, I'll just say them, Ronin, yeah. Aether, Mother Russia Bleeds, and Crossing Souls, which are all coming to PS4, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the only one I know anything about is Ronin, which actually kind of plays a bit like Gunpoint. Did you ever play Gunpoint?
No.
Okay. Let me describe Ronin. Ronin, you are a samurai. Mm-hmm. Who infiltrates buildings, and once a guard spots you during the infiltration, it switches to like a turn-based type situation where you choose moves to try to evade the guard's bullets.
Huh.
And like after you choose your move, your character will like do like a jump arc or slash their sword. The enemies will fire their bullets, and then you'll choose another move. And it's a really interesting system. I wish I could show it to you in action or show it to the listeners in action so they can understand it better. But essentially, you end up in these situations where you infiltrate buildings with like a gazillion guards and they all are firing on you, but you plan your movements very carefully to dodge all their bullets and get to another guard and either kick him to knock him out or like slash him with your sword in such a way that nobody else can shoot you while you're slashing him. Hmm. And then you like keep on chaining moves together to kill all the guards. It's actually really interesting.
That does. Unfortunately, none of that came across in that trailer.
Nope. It was just a sizzle reel.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you anything about the other three.
They all look just like Hotline Miami Me Toos.
Fair enough to feel that way. Okay. I think they are probably all good games in their own right, but maybe the sizzle reel just wasn't doing them any favors.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. And Devolver is a pretty, like I said, Devolver's a pretty cool publisher. They're putting a lot of interesting stuff out, so.
Yeah.
I think it's worth keeping an eye on that stuff, and I appreciate that, you know, more indies for PlayStation.
Yay!
That was pretty much, they didn't really do too much in the way of indies this year. They were just, that was kind of it on their indie sizzle reel. They were just like, hey, check out these Devolver games.
Right. Well, I mean, there is that other big independent project that happened.
Okay. I guess you could call that an independent project. You talking about the next big reveal?
Absolutely.
Okay. After that, just kind of out of nowhere, they were like, hey, you know that Kickstarter platform? Shenmue 3 is now on it.
Yeah.
And it's coming to PS4. And then they brought out Yu Suzuki, and he talked about the game and showed a really terrible prototype with awful VO. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yay!
He came in from the ceiling, riding a forklift down...
he made ridiculous promises like everything will be resolved. Mm-hmm. Everything will be done.
It's not a reimagining. It will be a sequel that culminates this story.
Yes.
Yep.
I get the sense that Yu Suzuki has just desperately, desperately wanted to make this game. Just like gone to sleep at night crying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really cool that that's happening. And that was like the pie in the sky one that was like, people were kind of joking about, but nobody thought that would actually happen.
Yeah.
And then Sony brings this guy on stage to be like, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. that's going to be on our platform too.
Yeah.
Of course, the big wrinkle is it's a Kickstarter game. And, you know, that brings with it all the risks of a Kickstarter project.
Right.
But it's already funded.
Yeah. And I think the point about this that I care about is not that Shenmue 3 is happening, because I don't care about Shenmue. It's that Sony chose to share their press conference in an interesting way to launch something that is not like directly under their control. You know, one of the things is if you meet a certain tier, I think it's like a $30 backer level, you get a digital copy of the PlayStation 4 game. But there's no physical copies available. All the stretch goals are super limited, which essentially just go up to like subtitles in different languages. And then eventually, I mean, at like a $3 million mark or something, it caps out, or maybe four with just expanded locations or something. So very open-ended and very non-specific. So I'm wondering...
Kind of a dangerous Kickstarter.
Yeah. I'm wondering if this is kind of like a Bloodstained situation where it's more of... less of the Kickstarter actually needing to happen for its success, but more of like if there's enough interest in the Kickstarter, then another company will finish it up.
I think that's almost assured, yeah. Honestly. I don't think $2 million is enough to make the project he wants to make.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe if it's really low budget, it's possible, but yeah. I don't think so.
True. Good point.
So I do think there's an arrangement with some kind of publisher behind the scenes. At least I hope so, because mm-hmm. if not, wow, it's going to be real tough to pull that thing off.
Yeah. I was reading the Kickstarter yesterday or today, and it said there's like three questions in the FAQ, and it's like, is it going to come to other platforms besides PC and PlayStation 4? And the answer is, we do not have plans to do that. The other question that I found interesting was like, will you be remaking Shenmue 1 and 2? And it said, no, we don't have the capacity. We don't have the license to do that. And then it's like, the final question was, are you affiliated with Sega? And it said, no, Sega has given us the license to create Shenmue 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I wonder if Sega would be like, oh, Shenmue 3 is coming out, eh? Why don't we put out Shenmue 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Master Collection.
Yeah.
Or not even remaster, just collection, honestly.
Yeah.
Just crap that thing out. Make it playable on current gen consoles.
Put it on the PC.
Yeah. I think it would be wise to do, honestly. But yeah, so that was a big reveal. And you're right, Griffin. It is kind of interesting that they chose to promote this guy who, you know, I mean, yes, he's not coming to Xbox One, but it's kind of weird because, you know, like you said, he's kind of a rogue agent. Like he could, you know, he's not like clearly playing for their team, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's just kind of has his own agenda. So it was cool that they brought him up there.
Right. I mean, and I think when Adam Boyes announced it, he didn't say we're partnering with you, Suzuki, in the creation of, he said, we just want to give this opportunity to like be a part of this Kickstarter launch. So here we go.
Exactly. Yeah. It was, yeah, that's exactly what they said. They were like, you know, this isn't our thing, but you know, we want to really welcome this individual, you know, and encourage them now. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, here, Shenmue 3.
Right.
So very cool.
Reestablishing Sony's Sony's star as your best friend.
Yeah, well, there definitely was this focus on kind of, I think they want to maintain the image that they are pro developer. Like having Fumito Ueda stand up and having everyone give him a round of applause.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it was great. I really respect that they did that, but I think it was also calculated. I think it was also, look, you know, we love developers here. Hey, everyone. Hey, indies. Hey, small guys. Come over here. We'll love you here.
Mm-hmm.
You get to come up on stage, show us your game. You get to be applauded by the entire audience, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was very intentional.
Yep.
Speaking of small developers and little guys,
uh-huh.
Batman. That was a weird little thing they showed. How come it was first person sometimes?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming it's because that was the side mission, the exclusive Scarecrow Nightmare missions that you get for, you know, pre-ordering or whatever the hell you have to do to get it on PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Who I'm not going to put any stock into what they showed there. That just seems like an interesting little side project involving spooky Scarecrow psychological stuff.
Yep.
Which has been cool in the Batman games before. It just, you know, still don't care about Batman.
Yeah, unfortunately. I wish I liked the core mechanics a little bit more, but I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, they checked that box.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of checking boxes, Morpheus. Mm. Here's what I'm glad about. They did not spend very long on Morpheus.
Yeah, absolutely.
They showed a whole bunch of games that they flashed through. Yeah. The only thing I caught was Valkyrie.
Yeah, they showed that. They showed a soccer heading game, which I think it was a pretty clever title named like Head Coach.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Nailed it.
Yep. Then they showed that shark thing. where the shark dive tank simulator. They showed.
Is that the thing where you present the business ideas to the wealthy executives and they either vote up or down on them?
They just yell at you. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually going to be the political campaign that Donald Trump runs on next year.
Instead of debating, he just goes on Shark Tank.
No, he just eats people. they had a little fake-looking Pikmin thing. If there was anything else, I don't really remember.
Yeah, they showed a reel, and I'm sure there will be journalist comments about them. But
They did show rigs, right? Which they actually called out by name.
Yeah, apparently 3v3 is the new hotness because it is all over the place. Mm-hmm. Just kind of in general in terms of multiplayer experiences right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, 3v3 robot battling, is that right?
Yeah, it looked like it. I think I may have taken a bathroom break at that point.
Yeah, and they said it was for Morpheus, but I'm assuming that it's probably Morpheus or PS4.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any reason you would need to have full peripheral vision for robot battling, even though it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was mercifully quite short. And then what was also mercifully quite short was the TV section. I feel like PlayStation View is like the underrated gem that could be amazing, but never quite makes it.
Right? Oh my God.
They're like, we're going to offer you a la carte channels like Fox Sports and Machinima and Showtime.
I think those were the free pack-in ones, right? That just by downloading it, you get those? Like the base level?
I think those were the only a la carte offerings they had to start with.
Oh, okay. They showed a bunch of brands up there, but there was a lot, so I didn't have a chance to really lean in close and look at them.
I think the brands are stuff that you can buy packages for, but I think they also announced a la carte offerings.
Oh, okay.
So you can just get one channel.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Because I did hear them specifically say there are packages.
Yeah, the only channels you can get, I think, just if you just want the one, are just those three channels. But presumably that will expand over time. I think it sounds amazing. I'm sure there's some catch that makes it suck, but I don't know what it is. And every time I hear about it, I'm like, this is actually really good.
Yep. If they could make good on that idea, that would be a game changer.
Yes, it would.
Yep.
But I'm sure they'll fuck it up somehow.
Cut the cable, man. Let's cut the cable.
Hell, if PlayStation View had Comedy Central a la carte, for example, mm-hmm. I would probably just pay for that and be done.
Yeah, unfortunately, the things that that would mean I could cut the cable here to have a la carte, we'll never be able to get those. ESPN and MTV will never offer just like a single serving of that through a service.
Maybe not. If MTV doesn't, then Comedy Central won't, because they're both Viacom held.
Mm-hmm.
It looked pretty cool. I don't really understand it well enough to really like know what's wrong with it or why it doesn't work or why it hasn't seen wider adoption. But mm-hmm. It's neat that they're finding an area where they can actually innovate, because the Me Too stuff wasn't working for them.
No, definitely.
That's
not.
For sure.
Yeah.
So this is a good step forward. Speaking of steps forward for the brand, for whatever else, they dropped the bomb on Microsoft saying, hey, we got Call of Duty now. The official line from Andrew House was, PlayStation is the new home of Call of Duty, which is a smack in the face.
Yes, it is.
And then they showed Black Ops, which I thought looked pretty fun.
They showed two sections of Black Ops, which I did not understand what was happening in the first.
I don't care about that nonsense. I don't, I know you like the single player in those games. I think it's kind of universally not so hot.
Mm.
I thought the multiplayer looked really frenetic. I still don't believe that that's how it will actually play out. I think everyone will just camp like they do in every Call of Duty game, but
People don't really camp in Call of Duty, though. There's a lot of movement, actually.
There's a lot of movement, but, well, it depends on the map. Because I've been playing a fair amount of Call of Duty recently.
Really?
And depending on the map.
Who are you?
Yes, actually. not entirely. I'll explain it to you later. But it depends on the map. Some of them, people will just kill you from the middle of nowhere over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Some of them, yes, there will be a lot of running around.
Right. And it's always nice to get on that when the game starts, so everybody can kind of be at a somewhat level playing field and not know all the nooks and crannies yet. So, I mean, day one purchase does have some value there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think the big problem is just the maps sometimes get so big that, well, they're not gigantic, but they get big enough that it's disorienting to be in them, mm-hmm. and that's when the sniping opportunities occur, and that's what makes me. But yeah, it looked very frenetic. I appreciate that they've kept the power ups. I think that was a good decision, personally. I don't know. Some purists might be upset by it, but the less human that game looks, the better for me.
What? Do you mean the magic abilities you're doing? The spells you're casting?
Well, the spells were something else.
Okay, what are the power ups then?
Like the boost jump and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the carryovers from, like, Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, and the parkouring and everything else. Yeah, the spells, I don't even know what to make of those. Those are something else.
Yeah. Yeah, they've explained like a little bit about that in, like, interviews and stuff before, where they have kind of tried to say that, like, yes, we do want it to kind of feel like magic. Like, technology becomes so advanced, it becomes indistinguishable from magic. So you're casting a make guy throw up spell.
Great. Perfect. That's what I want in my shooter. I would rather my shooter be as unreal as possible.
Yeah.
And don't say Unreal Tournament or else I'll shoot you in the face.
Yep.
You know, it's Call of Duty. I'm sure it'll sell like gangbusters. It's exciting for PlayStation.
Sure.
Good get for sure.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I guess what I was saying, my confusion was what they showed was they showed a multiplayer, you know, the fun trailer where it's like music and people and high action and stuff like that. But then before that, they showed what looked to be some sort of like wave based survival or objective based multiplayer co-op action. And I couldn't tell if that was something tied to a campaign or if that's going to be like the spec ops functionality of previous games or how that sits within the three pillars of Call of Duty.
I think that's going to replace like Extinction and zombies.
Yeah, well, I
mean, that's my theory about that.
It would be weird for them to replace zombies since that's kind of Treyarch's bread and butter.
Okay, I guess yeah. I'm not as on top of the Treyarch. I guess it's Sledgehammer now, back and forth as you are. So maybe they leave zombies in.
There's all three of them still.
But I thought Infinity Ward is like kind of taking a step back.
They're still a team.
Yeah, but there aren't they co whatevering with Sledgehammer?
I'm sure it's getting to a point now where it's like everybody touches everything, but they are still an independent studio.
Okay. I kind of intentionally didn't include them just because I feel like they're kind of a shell of their former self.
Oh yeah.
They're a Call of Duty ghost of their former self.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I guess you have a better understanding of those game modes than I do, but that's kind of what I thought they were going to do with it, just slot it in there kind of as the kind of special game mode.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it'll be Spec Ops, like you said, Griff. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Could be
The thing, I was confused, and that's what both by the presentation of that man on stage and then by what they were actually showing there, I was kind of befuddled.
I'm trying to remember which guy that was. Was that the guy who was the 13-year-old in the man suit?
Yeah.
Okay. He was like, in every Call of Duty game, things don't go as planned.
Right.
And I was like, all right. Yeah, that's true. They don't.
No.
Yep. People die sometimes.
Yep.
Okay. So you're a little bit, are you put off by it or just confused?
Just confused. I mean, I was expecting to see like the introduction bit, where they have you doing something and then in the interest of time and then moving over with the campaign. So I guess the fact that they didn't specifically call out like this is campaign. Like I guess I was kind of confused by that.
So you're saying now that Call of Duty has moved to a new home, you're having trouble getting adjusted to all the new trappings of that new home. this is like mom and dad just got a divorce and you had to move.
Uh-huh.
And now you're like, I hate it here.
I just want to go back to Xbox.
Everything was simple there. For me, I never really engage with whatever they're showing me in terms of campaign, so I guess it didn't really register that that was kind of jarring.
Mm.
I was just like, oh, shooty bang bang. There's a guy impaled by a rod. Yeah. It's Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm. Set pieces.
Yeah, exactly. You fell off a thing.
Yep. Okay. Well, speaking of set pieces and big dumb moments.
Disney Infinity?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That was some good times. They had who did they have out there to talk about Star Wars?
It was, oh God, I'm blanking. John Vignacchi from Disney.
Yeah.
And he brought the most energy I've ever seen out of that man before to present Star Wars, which I bet he did on a dare.
It was so funny because they were like, we love Star Wars over here. Disney Infinity. It was such a fake out for
mm-hmm,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except everybody knew it was already coming because of that leaked ad and whatnot.
Oh, I didn't know, but that's just because I aggressively don't care about Disney Infinity.
Okay. I guess the one thing that was that people cared about was like some Boba Fett toy or something that is going to be exclusive or something for a short period of time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. It looked pretty cool. I like Boba Fett.
Damn it, Jeff. You need to care about these Toys to Life games like I do.
I care about one Toys to Life, and it's Amiibo. That's all I have room for in my heart.
Nothing is bringing them to life yet.
No, it's true. Toys to undeath.
Toys to costumes.
Yeah, pretty much. Toys to hidden toads.
Yeah. Continuing down the Star Wars path, they showed more Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, they're like, hey, there's this new mode called Survival. It's kind of like the other modes.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell what was different about Survival than everything else?
I assume that was the single player.
Maybe. I assumed it was like the wave based type thing, like, hey, kill all the dudes instead of just, I don't know.
Yeah. At that point in the conference, I was getting pretty overwhelmed and like just extremely angry. So anything that they talked about in that section, I was kind of not paying attention to.
It seemed fine. I mean, Admiral Akbar was there, so you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Better than Snoop Dogg.
Yes, better than Snoop Dogg. But after Star Wars, which admittedly was not super long, mm-hmm. they showed a little bit of gameplay there. They moved on to the end of the show to show, as you'd called it, Uncharted 4x4.
Wait, I got an even better name.
All right, go for it.
Uncharted 4x4.
Uncharted 4, a thief's cue in the line. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah.
A thief's stand. There you go.
Nice.
They showed Uncharted 4 and then the demo bricked and they had to start over.
Mm-hmm. Which was fine, you know.
Yeah, no, it was totally fine. I liked that demo. I thought it was pretty cool.
I liked that demo too. Really very much like reaffirming my faith in Sony and in that kind of a game design that's like in the right hands, it's done really well and it's super fun.
Yeah. And I think there was care taken in showing that too. First of all, I guess it was a callback to the Uncharted 2 demo, which I've seen it before. I don't remember what because I watched it after the fact.
Mm.
But I guess the Uncharted 2 demo kind of overpromised a little bit, made the game look a lot better than it was.
Huh.
This apparently surpassed the Uncharted 2 demo though, and was very similar in nature. I guess the Uncharted 2 demo also showed a car chase, kind of like this.
A truck.
But what I was, what's that?
Nothing.
Oh. But what I was struck by was just how open things appeared to be, like how you actually have roots for once. I mentioned earlier in this discussion that like when you're playing Uncharted, you're kind of locked into a path. Like mm-hmm. when you are in these set piece moments, like there's kind of only one place you can go at any given moment. But this kind of seemed like there were paths you could take. Like he was taking shortcuts rather than just going around the road. Mm-hmm. But it looked like you could totally just do that if you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that Uncharted has been really good at is leading you down the path it wants you to go down. So
oh, yeah.
I'm worried that with something like what they showed, it's going to be you take a wrong turn, and then it's like, Nate, you took the wrong turn! And then you die and have to restart the checkpoint.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Regardless, if it does or if it doesn't happen, I don't really care, since it did look like a lot of fun. And it was nice to have goofy banter in my action game again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Complaining about the fences being broken and all that. That was good stuff.
Yep.
But I definitely saw some of that leading going on, like having the bright area that draws you in. I mean, that's some good design right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I read it as more open, but even if it weren't, it still looked super great. And I think it's kind of nice that they haven't yet tried to do ridiculous spectacle on the level of Uncharted 3. Cause I think that's kind of what brought Uncharted 3 down, like having like a plane crash for no reason.
Yeah. Well, that section of Uncharted 3 was pretty freaking cool. But then I specifically think of like the boat fight, where it's like you're in this boat that's capsizing and the level is changing dynamically around you. And then these big open areas with like waves and chandeliers and everything. And it felt oddly claustrophobic and uninteresting.
Well, I really like the plane part too. I thought it was really cool. I think the problem with Uncharted 3 though is just that it was a whole bunch of set pieces that were linked together by a somewhat disjointed story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
This appears to be avoiding those trappings, at least in the promotional materials.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. You know, stick to the bread and butter that you do well. Cool car chases.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that everybody's like, vehicles for the first time in Uncharted. And it's like, no, not at all.
Did you play the first game?
Yeah. There was a jet ski and there have been horses.
Yes, there have. So, and there have also been other water vehicles, if I recall correctly. Well, there was one in the handheld, I think, anyway.
Oh, okay. Everybody's favorite Uncharted.
Yeah, it's a terrible game. anyway, that pretty much wound the show up. I thought it was a really fantastic show.
I thought it was a very weird show.
What to you made it feel weird?
I guess I should say it was a weird show in that it felt like it was both trying to be the typical like Sony buttoned up, hey, we're going to give you the financials, but then we're also going to show these hot trailers and these apps that you'll want in your life. But they ended up just having these like weird spiky regions like of fan placation of, you know, with Shenmue and Final Fantasy VII and these things. You know, maybe obviously they're generating hype for the PlayStation 4 and showing that stuff off on their stage. It's going to generate talk around the PlayStation 4. But I don't really feel like this, besides Uncharted, watching this thing, I didn't really feel like anything was distinctly Sony.
Well, I mean, they didn't have a ton of first party stuff there. I mean, and also, I mean, there's not much coming out this year. I mean, that's the big obvious weakness.
Uh-huh. And I know they said that beforehand, where they're, you know, relying heavily on third parties, and that was obvious. But in terms of like, what is Sony? Sony does definitely seem like it's more moving away from its own identity and an identity more of like, we're Foster. Of projects. Fosterer.
So you would have preferred just more like Sony brand coming through there?
No, I'm not saying I would have preferred it. I just said that I'm just saying that this direction seemed a little weird to me.
I guess it did. I think that maybe it just doesn't benefit them to put too much into first party development at this point. I'm not really sure.
Sure.
I think they do well to like I said, kind of, you know, highlight developers. I think that was wise. Mm-hmm. That could kind of play into this whole kind of where, you know, we're fostering great development experiences and stuff over here. That kind of new persona. I hadn't really noticed the shift in tone like you did, but now that you say it, I wonder if that's kind of what they were going for. Not sure.
Yeah.
I'm reviewing what they, I guess all they had Media Molecules thing. They had Gorillas thing.
Yeah.
And Last Guardian and Uncharted. Yeah. I mean, that's four first-party titles there. Maybe you didn't feel like they cohered enough to really kind of give you an idea of what Sony is.
Right, yeah. I mean, The Last of Us is a thing that, you know, feels like an apology at this point. The Dino game was very cool. Media Molecule, I have tempered expectations just in the same way that I do for No Man's Sky. So,
yeah.
And, you know, my adoration for Final Fantasy VII is almost non-existent. So it did not impact me nearly as much as it I'm assuming it did you.
I get it. Yeah, for me, it was a huge deal. I mean, you know, the only one of these projects that doesn't really speak to me is Shenmue.
Yeah.
Because I've never played it. But I can appreciate its importance, you know, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think I think I can still appreciate their actions in highlighting this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Final Fantasy VII for me, I mean, you know, big deal. Not quite as big as Jamie, but pretty big deal still.
Mm-hmm.
Last Guardian, huge deal for me. You know, I'm really excited about that. And the stuff that they showed that was first party, you know, for me, it was kind of like none of the chaff, like all the wheat, none of the chaff. Like
sure.
That Horizon title looked so good. Uncharted looks super solid. I don't really want to see like what Ready at Dawn is working on.
No.
Although I think they're actually going multi-platform now.
Right. And thank God there's no David Jaffe game in there either.
I know, right? They showed his game in the little intro and then they didn't talk about it at all. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Keep that guy away from your stage. You should be happy to be rid of him.
Yeah.
You're graduating from him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I could see where you're coming from. For me, it, like I said, the only thing that I found a little bit troubling about the show was just, you know, what's the 2015 output going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are a fair number of third-party exclusive, or not exclusive, but 30-party titles that are really momentous coming out in the fall now. I mean, I think Fallout was kind of the feather in the cap that kind of made everything kind of like made it feel like we have a fall.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not like there's no games to play this year by any means. It's just like,
yeah.
What are the Sony games to play this year?
I don't know if there are any of them, actually. Yeah. you know, Ratchet is next year. Mm-hmm. Is there any 2015 Sony release coming out?
I can look, but I don't know.
Drive Club PS Plus edition?
There's that Persona dancing game for the Vita.
Okay, that's an exclusive, not first party, but yeah.
Right.
And Persona 5 is probably coming out this year. But yeah, I see what you're saying, Griffin. Yeah, it's not entirely clear why you should buy Sony and not something else. What identity does Sony have that makes it stand out, other than the fact that it's the best performing console and it's sold a lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, exclusive betas.
Get it here
all
first.
The betas.
While it's still half-baked.
Okay, so it sounds like for you, this press conference might have been solid but weird.
Yeah,
for me, it was like really good.
I would have said
bordering on superlative.
Yeah, as of the first real day zero of press conferences, it was the best.
Yeah, I would say so. I don't know if anything that they showed was on the level of what I saw from Fallout 4.
Yeah,
but the rest of Bethesda's conference dragged it down a few pegs, and Sony's conference was just pretty much solid across the board. So,
or yeah, I mean, and I guess the surprises and or the confirmation of things people thought were impossible was definitely made
impossible.
It.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, hell of a show. Or it would have been a hell of a show if it weren't for Nintendo.
Yes. And now you say that sarcastically, but I do not believe. I believe it was great.
You believe.
Okay. I believe that you need to listen to the next episode of this part 5 where we talk about Nintendo because it was really good.
Okay.
Join us next episode as Jeff and I switch roles.
Yes.
All right. Please do. Actually, we're going to shut this down and we'll be back to talk about Nintendo next.
Okay, bye. If I let you go back the way that I thought I might go today, and I, oh, if I let you inside my mind.